Hello and welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway, a podcast focused on that zero emission future that we all hope for. Today I am joined by one of the wonderful members of the EV Cafe team.
Well, hang on.
Let me...
Two of the members. What? Two other members of the EV Cafe team.
Well, this is true, but you're sort of giving away the guest. You're giving away the guest. But, so now you're there now, JC. Say hello.
Hello.
That's it. That's all we want from JC today. He's clearly in a mischievous mode, and we could do with as little of that as possible. Anyway, but every week we get to work with, speak to... one of the wonderful innovators, pioneers, and collaborators of our industry. And today is no exception because we have the whirlwind that is Richie Martin, everybody.
Hi, everyone. How's it going? You're right. Yay! How's it going, boys? You good?
Here he is. Yeah, we're good, man. We're good. It's super cool to be talking with you officially on the Takeaway podcast. Richie, listen, we came across you at Fully Charged a couple of years ago and have been inseparable ever since because, you know, you've made such an impression, not only on us, but on the industry as a whole. Your name is synonymous with energy and passion and drive and determination. And we just want to get to the bottom of it, the secret of your source. But not that source, young Richie. We know you're a source.
I haven't said anything
fella.
Yet. It's like Colonel Sanders' secret recipe.
Exactly that. So, Richie, listen. You've fallen into the sustainable world over the last couple of years. Tell me what kind of attracted you to working with this mad world that is electrification and sustainability?
I suppose it's not just the last couple of years, mate. I think it's way before then. So in a former life, I used to run a different event other than Fully Charged. So I used to run an event called the Installer Show. Okay, so that was all about plumbing and heating and boilers and all that sort of stuff, a very unsexy sort of industry. And then my job was to, well, I created the Installer Show way back when, and then with Lyrical Communications, and then I kind of tried to put the sexiness into that. So what happened is you've got a bunch of boiler manufacturers who stand there in their shiny suits and their salespeople not interacting very well with the DNA or the demographic of the visitors. And then what I did was I saw where there's a massive disconnect there. And this is probably where it all started for me, that let's communicate in the right way at the right time to the right people with the right messages and keep people interested and engaged. So sustainability wise, back then it was like gas boilers and what have you, but it was the forefront of sort of like renewable energy, you know, solar panels was, you know, were going up on roofs and, you know, you've got ground source heat pumps rearing their head up and then you've got all these different sort of initiatives coming through, government grants, goodness knows what, things were being thrown at installers to improve the way that they worked and, you know, improve their overall sort of footprint and the sustainability outcome of what they achieved. So my job was to part of my job was to diversify the event itself and make it more sustainable. So we as a team, we introduced, you know, ground source heat pumps and we introduced like electric boilers and electric radiators and all those sorts of things. And people like installers who were so traditional in their ways of bending copper and, you know, those sort of things. We found a way that it was much quicker for them to do their job, much more sustainable for them to do their job, and much better for the whole piece. So that's kind of where the journey started. And then, obviously, from that, I met Dan Caesar because he was running the Renewables Roadshow way, way, way back when. And we were kind of sparring partners, I suppose, because my show sort of like... was opposite to his. So we were friendly sparring partners. You know, we were doing the same thing. Mm. He was very focused on sort of renewable energies and sustainability. And we had it as part of our overall proposition. Mm. So that's where we met. And then fast forward a few years, and then just after COVID, when we started at EV Cafe, that was when the Installer Show stopped. Because obviously people couldn't meet, right? So the event industry kind of like sort of plummeted. It went down into a dark, dark, dark hole. But after that, I got a phone call out of the blue from Dan saying, "What are you doing these days, mate?" And I said, "Oh, actually, I'm doing a few bits and pieces. Why? What are you interested? What have you got to talk to me about?" And he said, "Let me tell you about the Fully Charged show." And that was it. So that's where it all crossed paths. And it was a steep learning curve with regards to electric cars and electrification and all those sort of things. But
And electric vans, Richie.
Well, you save the best till last, don't we, with these conversations.
But the best Richie, the thing I know about you, and it's a thing you've not touched on yet, is about your focus on people. Because, you know, all the technology in the world is fabulous, but actually you're a real people person. And I remember vividly meeting you the first time. You had the most cool coat on that was as long as you are. And so it
waistcoat.
Come to my waist. But I remember you, we were all running around like headless chickens, and you came over and you said, "John, we've not met. Would you like a coffee?" And you won my heart instantly, because you could see I was running around like a lunatic. And I just know you as a people person. That's a real strength for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's really important to me that. I think, you know, there's certain ways to do things in life. You know, you can be a recluse. You can sit back and you can sit behind your keyboard. You can throw out loads of emails. You can be very sort of like, you know, efficient that way. But COVID really kind of like hit me quite hard, because, you know, I like seeing the whites of people's eyes. I like shaking people's hands. I like, you know, talking to people, understanding them, getting their DNA, understanding, you know, what making them tick. I remember that day, JC, absolutely clear as a bell, walking up to you. Saz was on the right. I mean, Paul's running around in the background. You were obviously the biggest person in the place. So I thought, let's take the biggest one out first, sort of thing, like as a proper combat situation. And then obviously I knew a lot more about you guys than you knew about me at that stage. And you know, obviously you guys would have known me from Fully Charged, but, you know, so yeah, that's what it's all about. And I wear my heart on my sleeve. I get to like people. I get to love people quite quickly. And, you know, and that is a strength. And that's the common theme, I think, JC. You know, through everything that I've ever done, I've always been on that front foot. I've always been on that sort of like where people look to me, talk to me, trust me for what I do and what I say. Mm. They know that I'm honest. You know, if things aren't going well, I'll tell you. If I promise something, I'll deliver it. Work ethic is through the roof, but it all comes down to this common heartbeat throughout everything that I do is people. I absolutely love people. I love meeting them. I love the differences. I love the collaboration. I love looking at one side of an argument and another side of an argument, trying to build a bridge and try and find a compromise in the middle. And I try to celebrate as much as I can the great things that people do. Mm-hmm. And if people are struggling as well, you know what? My phone's always on as well. So, you know, I could talk to people about that.
Hmm. Richie, I mean, listen, you know, we've talked a lot, and I know that you've got a lot of passions in your life. Where does that passion come from? I mean, you grew up and you're a twin, right? Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I suppose that's part of the problem, Paul. Fighting for space from the womb outwards, you know. It's just like, you know, it's a competition when you're a twin. And like, I've got an identical twin called Andy, and he's a builder. And, you know, we're close. We always have been. When we were nippers, we were inseparable. We would finish each other's sentences. It was that weird twin thing, you know, way back when. And we're very, very similar in looks, other than I've got a, you know, beard now, and he's cut his hair a little bit shorter than mine and stuff like that, so it's pretty obvious. But if I put a picture up of the two of us, then, you know, we you know, it can confuse people. It definitely can. But you know, the passion comes from that. It comes from, you know, my dad was a teacher, or is a teacher, well, sorry, was a teacher. My mum's a nurse, and it's a pretty humble sort of like beginning sort of thing, but great work ethic right the way through. my mum is, you know, everybody teases me about how much taller I am than JC, but my mum's like, my mum comes up to my shoulder, so I never really stood a chance, right, with regards to height. And then I'm one of the twins, so there should only really have been one of us as an identical twin. So we probably looked a bit more like John if it turned out differently. But you know, in our house, it was all about that fun. It was all about my mum singing, you know, country and western songs, my dad singing rock and roll songs, you know, me and my brother singing all the time, and it was a lot of energy. And then I played a lot of sports, but that kind of saved me at school, really, sport and what have you, because where you're little, people, and back in the day, and it's going to sound a bit weird, but back in the day in Southampton in the late 70s, well, I was born in 71, so it would have been like the early 80s going to school in Southampton. There weren't very many, you know, people of colour in our school at all. So we were short, we were twins, we were slightly different looking, you know, to everyone else. So we were picked on to start with, you know, and, you know, there was lots of times where, you know, we had to be robust. And, you know, me being me, Andy's very slightly different to me. He's a little bit colder than I am. But I would confront that all the time. I would never take a step backwards. And, you know, I'd make so many friends throughout school from adversity. You wouldn't believe. And then Andy and I were both very good at sport. Very good. Like, it wouldn't. And other than cricket, Andy used to be good at cricket. I couldn't stand it. But, you know, football, we were part of the football team. I played for Southampton Youth. Southampton got to the reserves, on the bench at the reserves way back when. You know, trained with like Matt Letizier and Alan Shearer and, you know, the Wallace brothers and all that sort of stuff. You know, played at, you know, Craven Cottage, and I've played at, you know, all over the Ellen Road and other places like that. I've, you know, in different capacities. So, and I always ended up being the skipper, because I've just got a big mouth, right? And everybody's watching this goes, yeah, I can hear Richie Martin talking straight away. But most of the big mouth thing is of substance. There's no point just shouting if you haven't got any direction. And like being a team captain, and you know, it really put me in good stead. And then I did a lot of fighting back in the day, sort of like boxing and martial arts and stuff like that. So my personality became very, very strong, and there was less and less and less fear in any situation I walked into. So I suppose I walk it through life that way, chest first. I can walk into a room and not feel like, you know, I don't belong. And then, you know, going back to what JC said about the coffee up at, I think it was the CV show, I think it was. You know, I walked straight up and walk straight in. You know, you guys got a busy job to do. I've come up to see you guys. You know, I'm taking up your time. The very least I could do is offer you guys a coffee, right? And I remember our first meeting as well, Paul, at Farnborough. I remember it like
in the boardroom.
Yeah, and I said the same thing to you. I said, do you want a coffee? I didn't pay for that one because there was a machine on the wall, wasn't there? But
it was free. Yeah.
that was an easy one to get away. I've still got my expenses to put in for that, JC, right back then.
I owe you, mate.
All right, mate. But yeah, I suppose those are the things. So, and it's having the confidence to say what's in the front of your mind, I think, a lot of the time. But, you know, I don't know, maybe I'll just jump on a psychiatrist's couch for a moment. With that sort of like bravado and that energy and that sort of like that stuff comes, you know, it's a massive strength, but it's a huge weakness as well sometimes, you know. And, you know, like the brightest lights cast the darkest shadows is a saying that I know all too well. And, you know, there's two sides of everyone, you know. So, and sometimes, you know, it is a struggle to stay above the water. It's a struggle to stay in the light, you know, because you're quite polar when you're like me. You know, you feed off positive energy, and you can make a massive amount of things happen in a very short amount of time. You know, there's not much I can't do. But, you know, momentum is key. So momentum for me is key. Keeping busy is very key.
Richie, talk to me about self-care, because I know that you're somebody who has done all that sports stuff, but you're also quite good at taking yourself away and spending time sorting yourself out, getting your head straight, making the space to be Richie. How do you do that?
I don't, thank you, John, but I'm not sure I'm as good as I want to be. I think the balance of life is difficult, right? You know, you try and get hold of, try and get hold of John Curtis on the phone, try and get hold of Paul Kirby on the phone, try and get hold of, you know, Sam or Johnny or, you know, Sarah, any of you on the phone, just try it. Try it now. And it's hard because we're all busy. Okay. Mm. And, you know, and nobody means to, you know, be away from it all. You know, when the phone rings and you get an answer phone, and when the phone rings and you get a, can I call you back in a minute, mate? Or, you know, or those sort of things. Is nobody's doing it deliberately. Nobody's malicious in this, in this industry that I know of. But I think with me, my phone is always on. I always pick up. I always answer. Mm. I'm one of those people that do struggle sometimes, despite what you just said, JC. I do struggle sometimes to switch off. And it's kind of ironic because
I was alluding to the fishing, mate. I was alluding to the fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of ironic because I'm so busy and wag my tail a lot and I'm noisy and, you know, I'm mischievous and, you know, and all those sort of things. But I suppose my outside of like my kids and what have you, my passion and my work, my passion is fishing. And like people just cannot put those two things together. They cannot put, you know, don't want to talk to myself in the third person, but they can't put Richie Martin and fishing together. They can, mind you, people see fishing in a funny way, right? But I can't think of much better thing. Obviously, you know, spending time with my kids is just brilliant and I love every second of it. But, you know, and working, I absolutely love work. I love working. I love talking to people. But short of that, I can't think of anything better than sitting next to a lake or a river or, you know, even out on a boat at sea. No, I don't do as much of that as the other two. But just being at one with yourself or with maybe a close mate and a beer or something like that and, you know, tricking a few fish into, you know, slipping up and taking some nice photographs and enjoying the scenery. I mean, just real quickly, you know, you guys know, maybe the others don't, but, you know, I drove from, you know, Ringwood near Bournemouth to Scotland, drove there. You know, which takes some planning these days, obviously, you know, but, you know, you drive there to go fishing. That's what, you know, and that's the sort of thing. And the reward for me was getting there and it was a crisp sort of like February morning. And like the reward for me was early February. It's the sunset, the sunrise. It's just beautiful. The water, you know, bouncing over stones, and it sounds very romantic and maybe should be placed on top of a biscuit box, but you know, it's one of those things that, you know, people that don't understand. You know, Curbs goes out and walks on the beach, and you know, it's lovely to see that, and I kind of get that sort of secondhand sort of like you know, fun from it, and like, you know, I get the endorphins from knowing that feeling, but being next to water and then also the fishing element is like, you know, I catch and release. I look after everything I catch. You know, I photograph it as if it was like a crown jewel. And, you know, but it's just those moments like of uncertainty, trying to outwit yourself, of trying to think in the moment, be in that moment all the time. And, you know, and then your reward is immediate. And then your release is even better reward. And then you can take a breath and then look up and there'll be a kestrel or be a buzzard or there'll be, you know, goodness knows what, you know, and it's just staggeringly beautiful.
Not everybody lives in the moment. Not everybody is able to see those things that you see and Paul sees and I see as tremendous things. You know, we'll marvel at a thing in nature, like a wave or a stone or, you know, a fish, whatever it might be. And we truly are able to suck in that great experience. Lots of people just pass all this stuff by and it doesn't matter. And that kind of marks you out as somebody special, Richie.
Oh, thanks for that, mate. I appreciate that. And, you know, I making the most of the moments is my thing, isn't it, right? That's my strap line. That's how I live, you know, and that's what I do. You know, I've making the most of the moments is a positive thing, a very positive thing, but you have to make the most of the moments through negative experiences as well. So you'll find in your life where, you know, the shit hits the fan and you're there. And then what do? You know, do you drop and roll? Do you hide in the corner? You know, do you make the most of that and say, you know, this is an experience I need to move forward from, learn from, get bigger by, and arm yourself. So, something that Paul said the other day in one of his videos was he likes to surround himself with people that challenge him, right? Okay, and I remembered it quite vividly, and I thought to myself, well, you know what? That's us. That's us. You know, the EV Cafe are really good at that. You know, we all challenge each other. Sometimes, you know, it's uncomfortable, right? Because like nobody wants to be challenged all the time. But you know, but it's a necessity in business. But more importantly, it's a necessity for your own personality. You know, there's some dark things happened in my life, you know, that have made me what I am today. And when you've experienced the worst, then you feel like there's no bottom. In the risk of being cavalier, you end up being like I am. So you experience the worst, and then you become this thing that, well, that ain't gonna happen again. Let's move it forward, right? So I think that's it.
Yeah, Richie, you know what? John and I have talked about this both on other podcasts and together. You know, the saying that kind of conjures up in my mind is weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. You know,
that's amazing.
We often get hit, but it's when we're hit, we sort of think we're never going to come back up. But we do. And I think we've got to reflect on those times and take confidence from those times and then carry those things forward. Richie, tell me about a time in your life where you have been hit. Articulate that for me and how you came through. And you know, we've talked and I know that there's probably a few things that you could pick. So pick one.
Yeah.
Because we've shared similar journeys, right? So, but talk to us about kind of hitting a wall and then coming back, and what did you learn from that, and how will you take that forward?
Well, there's some personal things that, you know, happened a long, long time ago that, you know, like deaths of family members and, you know, and what have you like that, that really hit me hard and like really hit me hard to the point that I still, oh, sorry, lads.
It's all right. Take your time.
Oh, I still find it difficult to talk to about it today. But you learn from that and you have to take strength from it.
What have you learned, and, Richie?
I just learned about the worst things. The worst things can happen, John. And from that, you can go to dark places, which I did and I have done, and you find from those dark places that what you're actually looking for, which is, I can't believe I've actually worked this out, but what you're actually looking for is light, yeah? And you're looking for a chink of light. And in darkness, the only thing you can see in darkness is light, you know? And short of it being a train coming down a tunnel, you know, it's usually fairly positive, okay? So, you know, you've got to work through that and be strong. And so that's why I'm like I am. So I look at the moment when someone says, I phone someone up and say, I've got this brilliant opportunity for you. You know, you can, this partnership opportunity, this whatever it might be, I can see there's these people want to talk to you and all that sort of stuff. And then they, after a series of negotiation and talking and what have you, then they say no. Okay, then that's quite tough to take, right? Because you put an investment in time. I can see the value in the proposition, okay? And then maybe it's the way that I've sold it or the way that I've projected it or what have you, but it's hard for them not to see the same value. So going back to the things in my life, when that happened, you know, way back when it happened, I felt like there was nowhere to go. You know, it was like, we will wobble, but we will fall down. And that's where I was going to stay. And like, it took a long time to sort of like defibrillate myself and move forward. But those scars stay with you. They stay with you. Never, ever, ever get fully over them. 100%. People say, oh, you get over it. You get over it. Don't worry about it. You get over it. Whatever it might be. But you never do. You never do. You learn to cope. You learn to find a way. And that's what makes you smart. That's what gets you, that's what gets you robust. That's what gets you through things, right? And then, and that's what makes you the person that, not necessarily you are, but maybe the person that you project. Because the person that I project sometimes isn't the person I am. You know, you know, believe it or not, some mornings, especially recently, some mornings, you know, I get up and think, I kind of don't want to do this today. But you've got a choice, right? You've got, you know, because if you don't, that's a spiral, right?
Yeah. And Richie, I mean, it's a tough thing, right? You know, we've all got things, even currently, that are going on in our lives that are tough.
Yeah, really.
You know, stuff that will stop us and bring us to tears and... Sorry, you got me now.
There you go. It's infectious, mate.
But there's always stuff around us. And we talk about not being, or we talk about being real, right? Being honest, being open, being transparent. But equally, just as you've said there, you know, we can't walk around with our woes on our sleeve.
No.
And sort of tell everybody about them all the time. How have you found that balance? Because you found it, and we know each other well enough to sort of go, hey, stop with the bullshit. Let's just check in with each other for a minute.
Because
it's really important, right? Because there is a point where weebles get just trodden on. And they're never going to get back up again. And we just need to make sure that each other it doesn't get trodden on, and that we get to kind of have those real conversations. Where's the balance, do you think? How do we find this balance between, is it like trusting in a few good men or women, or is it hiding from everybody? Where's the balance? You know, how do you make it
I think
it
it's
work?
A bit of everything, mate. For you. I mean, there's a time for hiding from everyone, isn't there? Because, like, you know, however brave and strong you are, you know, I mean, I'm pretty robust. Everyone knows what I am. You know, there's not much that pushes me over. But there's times where I just... You know, you don't want to face anyone. Even your closest friends and the people you trust the most, even your family, you don't want to, you know, you just feel like you're better off on your own. But you're not, you never are, but you feel like you're better off on your own, right? Mm. So the balance is difficult. You know, personal stuff is very hard to deal with, very, very hard to move forward from, because it's the most important stuff, right? Because at the end of the day, you know, pounds and pennies you can make, you know. I remember getting, you know, made redundant years ago during COVID. I got made redundant from a job that I was doing for 12 years, and I'd set the whole of the installer show up, you know, with a small team of people, and we got made redundant like that. And it was heartbreaking. I remember that feeling when the email popped up. I remember how sick I felt. And then I thought, well, what am I going to do? And then it was COVID, so there was no, I couldn't earn any money. I couldn't, and then I've got kids that I've got to, you know, support, and you know, fathers and mothers out there all over the country have got this knots in their stomach where they think, right, okay, you know, fishing is one thing, and it's nice to go have the opportunity to drive to Scotland or go wherever you want to go fishing, but ultimately you've got to, you know, make sure that. You know, your kids have got like school uniforms, and your kids have got like, you know, stuff to put in their lunch bags, and you've got kids are warm and they're fed and they've got, you know, clean bed clothes and all the boring stuff but you know, the real, real nuts and bolts important shit, you know, that's the stuff that you've got to get by. So you can't afford to sit, you know, in the darkness for too long, because the reality carries on, you know, life, in whatever form it is, it keeps moving forward. And then, you know, I worked on, my brother's a builder, and the builders were allowed to build, and they were allowed to work, and they were allowed to do certain things. So the day after I got made redundant, I was on a building site. The day after I got made redundant, I was on a building site, chucking muck into a bucket and, you know, like run up and down ladders, cement mixers, all that sort of stuff. Stuff that, you know, that I'd never really saw myself doing. I did landscape gardening in a former life, which I loved, all that outside stuff. But, you know, but it was nice because I could speak to my brother, although, you know, siblings tend to quarrel about the stupidest of things. But, you know, but it can get you through it, right? And then similarly, recently, you know, Fully Charged, you know, it's a difficult one to discuss. And, you know, I'm still friends with them all. And I love them dearly, the team and the everything. And they've got a huge place in my heart to the point where I've actually got a Fully Charged tattoo on my arm here, you know. So, you know, course. So, of course, well, I'll call it my Evie Cafe one now. So. If anybody asks, but I did that when I was over in San Diego, celebrating setting up the show over there because we, you know, me and Addy and the team out there, you know, me and Addy went out there, we sorted it all out, and everybody did such an exceptional job over there, and it was such fun to do and see things in a different landscape, as we did in Amsterdam as well, and what have you, but. There was a real moment there where I felt like, you know, I was going to be a lifer there and I was going to be working for them for a long, long time. You know, I had so much to have and do. I have so much to give and, you know, I had great relationships and I have great relationships in the industry with them and what have you. But it's a perfect example, Curbs, of, you know, the proverbial sledgehammer coming out of the darkness, and however hard you guard and however strong you are, it hits you and you've got to deal with it, yeah?
Yeah, it feels personal, right?
Yeah, it does feel personal, and it never was. It never is. You know, these decisions aren't made in malice, you know. Like I say, I will never, ever say a bad thing about the guys there. I love them all. You know, they're my friends. You know, I genuinely got love for them all, and especially the business there. I think they Fully Charged and Everything Electric show is a brilliant show. A brilliant show. It's a well-being show. You know, it's got credibility. I know it because I helped. You know what I mean? You know, and it's got part of me in it, so it's got to be great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Talking about being personal, Richie, we go through this thing where we've started to ask people some real personal stuff, like, what's your middle name?
Oh, my God.
Come on. All get right. it out.
So, are you a Richard or a Richie? You can't be. You're Richard.
I'm a Richard. Richard, right, okay. Keith Martin.
Keith. Oh, lush.
I never use it. tip my hat to all the Keiths that are out there. I love you all. It's not my favourite name in the world, I think if you look up Family Guy, and there was an episode in Family Guy, and they said the most unattractive male name, and it went Keith. But every time, because I'm of a certain age, and I remember Keith Chegwin, right? So,
oh gosh, yeah.
There you go. There's a reaction. You see, you can't get away from it. But no,
it's always pop.
There's a lot of wonderful Keith. There's many wonderful Keiths out there, I'm sure. But, you know, like some people put sugar in their tea, I prefer to keep Keith out of my name.
Keith Harris and Orville.
Oh, yeah. I stand to be corrected then, JC.
I wish I could fly away to the sky, but I can't.
That's brilliant. That's unirritating.
This reminds me, you two have something in common, and I wonder if there would be if there would ever be an opportunity for a sing-off.
Oh wow, I'd love that.
You both love singing, don't you?
Yeah.
I tell you what, we should do karaoke night.
Yeah, I was just about to say
duet.
Yeah, I'll sing along with you.
You could do Celine Dion and the other one.
I wish.
You know.
You guys told me to be Amy. You're the worst out of the three of us.
Anyway, speaking of these sort of vacuous questions, the other thing I was thinking of whilst we were talking was, if there was a film of your life, Richie, who would play Richie Martin? Richard Keith.
Oh,
Martin.
Well, that's easy. Why is that easy? The short guy, what's his name?
Oh, behave. Typecasting Danny DeVito. Behave.
No, not Danny DeVito. I was more thinking of
Gollum
in Mission Impossible. Impossible guy. Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise.
There'll be a lot of makeup needed there, of course. Have you popped a pill, Paul? Honestly.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Richie, you answer that.
I don't know, to be honest. I haven't really thought about that. I've never even thought about it. Somebody who'd play me. I don't know. It'll have to be... You see, the problem is there's two sides of me. So there's this quite, you know, sexy, beautiful, handsome sort of side. Which nobody's seen.
Yeah, don't worry about that side. The other side.
All right, then, Kevin Hart.
There you go. Kevin Hart wouldn't be far wrong, I reckon.
Yeah, it's quite funny. Yeah. Maybe him. Yeah, he's not as smooth. I'd have to hybrid Kevin Hart and Denzel or something like that. I'd have to have the two of them. I'll hybrid them. There you go.
So if we were to say to a director, right, we need somebody to play Richie who has these characteristics, what would the five or six characteristics be that really do sum you up?
I think honest is one of the biggest ones. I think that's like a real big thing for me. Personable, mischievous.
Sexy, obviously.
Well, that goes without saying, really, doesn't it? Mischievous, positive. I think I'm positive a lot of the time. Yeah. I'm positive, you know. And then I'd like to think that I'm fairly dynamic as well, which sounds like a bit of a weird word. Oh, lost the word. Yeah, so dynamic's a funny word, though, isn't it? Because it sounds like if you're talking about yourself and you say dynamic, it sounds like, all right, mate, you know, like, calm yourself down, you know. But, you know.
But that's fair. I think you've got to own your strengths.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
One of the strengths that you have is bringing energy into a room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that is dynamism, you know. You bring your own energy. You are battery, you know, you've got your own battery energy supply as you come along, you know.
Yeah.
We don't have to wind you up. You are...
Oh, you guys wind me up all the time. What are you on about?
What would you like to achieve, Richie?
Oh.
Sorry, mate. I was sitting here whilst you're.
Yeah, go.
You know, what would you like to achieve? You know, you've got. You said you were born in 1971, so you're 53.
Yep.
52. And you've got.
December.
You've got a good 15, 20 years left in your working life, at least. What does it look like? What if you could start again and write out your perfect job? What would it be?
It wouldn't be far away from what I'm doing now, to be honest, JC. It's people, working with people, understanding people, their businesses, their propositions, what they do, you know, their services, everything that they've got, just taking all that on board and then finding, and then matching what they want with other people that I know. So, you know, I've worked with some brilliant, brilliant people over the years, in the last few years in particular, you know, where I've made a real difference to what they do. Do you know what I mean? You know, me introducing one person to one person can make a huge... I'll tell you a really crazy example of it. Is over in San Diego. There's a guy called Rick, and he emailed me, like, remember San Diego's a different time scale to where we are. And he said that I've got these Tesla backpacks. Oh, what the hell is he talking about? Oh. So I looked into it, and I always wear it wherever I go, because I still champion him now. I said to the guys, you know, Joe and Dan and that, I said, look, this isn't a perfect fit, but this guy, I really like this guy. You know, he's got the bravado. He really wants to meet Robert, and he really wants to do these things. And it transformed him. If I didn't take chance on him to come and exhibit with us and, you know, and what have you, and I gave him a little stepping stone, and, you know, we gave him, cut him a few, you know, a few corners off the deal so that it made it acceptable to him. At the end of it, he came up to me, he brought his wife and his little kid up to me, and he goes, this is Richie here. And then he's like, he gave me a hug, he gave me a backpack. And I like, oh my God, this is what it's all about, right? And the guy actually saw it, and he made the most of it. He killed it, absolutely killed it. And that's a small example of, like, people making the most of the moments, right? Exactly that.
Mm.
So to answer your question, JC, I kind of want to, I want to carry on working in this sector. I love it. I love this. And I also want to, there's other sectors I want to work in. Like there's, angling's close to my heart. Okay. So, you know, I'd love to work in closer to some of the larger sort of angling companies, tackle and bait companies that are out there. But I work, I write in magazines for them and like that, not often, but periodically. And I've done a few things and I like to do more coaching, a lot more training. I had a fantastic day with Compello the other day, and you know we put together a brilliant. We sat for a lovely training course with the team there, Claire and the team there, and then they took those learnings over to Munich to their show out in Munich off the back of the course that I did with them, and they had a fantastic time, and I really felt like you know they got it. You know it's you know those are sort of things. So. In the next sort of 10 years, what I want to do is like build my portfolio of clients. You know, obviously, you guys and whoever else that we can get close to, bring that energy that I've got, but with direction to some of the event programs that are out there. So people roadmap, make people much more efficient in the way they roadmap their events and their engagements. Make sure they're much more strategic in looking at you know their return on investment. What return on investment actually looks like? Is it pounds and pennies, or is it like you know reach? Is it you know brand positioning, brand profiling, and what have you? But just learning and learning and learning. But I think for me, JC, I've achieved everything I really want to do already. I could get hit by you know an electric commercial vehicle tomorrow. And the
highly unlikely.
Oh, well, I wouldn't hear it coming, would I?
Oh, I don't know. They're a bit quiet.
That's actually is a funny story. That was my first ever interaction with electric vehicles was when I was 9. I got run over by a milk float. But it's a true story. But yeah, so
never look back.
Yeah, never look back. Never be the same. But yeah, all I can hear is bottles chinking in my head. So I've kind of achieved everything I wanted to achieve, mate. You know, there's some personal things I want to do. One of the things I'm super super proud of is being a good dad. You know what I mean? There's nothing I won't do for my kids. And my kids, you know, they see me. Still, you know, as a superhero, you know what I mean? They phone me. One of them's phoned me while we're here now. And like, we're so close. You know, we're friends without being friends. I'm very, very strict. It's so weird how strict I am with my kids. Not like, you know, Victorian dad strict, but, you know, I expect a lot from them. I expect the highest, highest things from all my kids. And that's about how they present themselves outside of the family, how they interact with people, when they're at school, respect. You know, I don't know if you've noticed it, but, you know, the people I don't know that are outside of the industry, and I always call people sir. You know, anybody that's older than me, I always call people. Still to this day, I do that. It's just like how my mum was brought up and not my dad. My dad wasn't brought up that way. My mum was part of that island culture was sir. She used to call her dad sir. You know, and it's just stuck with me for years. And I find it brilliantly respectful. And sometimes you get in trouble with it these days because, like, you open doors and you shouldn't open doors. And, like, you know, when you try and help people you shouldn't help. And, you know, and you feel like you're doing the right thing and maybe you're not. And maybe I'm a bit old-fashioned with those sort of things. But I'll do what I think's right. And I think that's the most important thing.
Richie, you know what? What impresses me most about you is that people would be forgiven but thinking you're just this bundle of energy that comes in, whips everything up, or you know, sells the story, sells the dream, and then disappears off into the sunset. But what you bring, both and it's clear, both in your personal life, with your kids there, and rightly your proudest achievement in many respects, but also your work life is some depth beyond and some depth and knowledge beyond that sort of understanding that, you know, the ability to walk into a room and go, right, this is how we make the most of the moment. I mean, it's great as a strap line over the shop door, but if once you walk in, nobody's got a clue how to make a moment or make the most of a moment, then what's the point? You know, you just kind of bumble into them. But what you want to do is make moments and then make the most of them. So you're about both the creation of it and the execution of it and the maximization of it. You can have
100%. Cheers, mate. But it's born out of pain. It's born out of pain. You know, you've put events on for years and years and years and years and years. And we've done it as a group, you know, Fully Charged and Everything Electric have done it, you know, and like, you know, the Installer Show have done it. And you put a lot of time and energy, effort and money into it. And then, unfortunately, sometimes you see people who event not doing it particularly well. And then you look at a situation where, you know, there's a lot of people in this without looking at the hierarchy too much, but the top tier of the business will invest X many thousands of pounds, and then they will delegate to the next tier and then the next tier. And by the time it gets down, literally down to the people who are at the event, they didn't know, they only found out on Wednesday they've got to be there on Friday. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that's not what the event's about. The event is the 3 days or the 2 days or the 1 day or whatever the event might be. That's just part of a process that should be 10 weeks long. You know, we should be, you know, if you partner with us or whoever it might be or the event organizer, we just think how great it would be if people came to us and said, oh, we would like this like level of engagement, this engagement strategy. We'd like to, we'll give you this content on this day. We're going to post this on this day. We're going to look at three exhibitors that complement us. Okay, we're going to look at three exhibitors and we're going to partner with them and we're collaboratively going to do this together. And then all of a sudden you've got this pyramid of noise that comes out from one exhibitor. And if you do that with all of the exhibitors, then you've got this huge opportunity to really showcase what we do. And people just don't do it. And they need someone like me to come in and say, right, okay, this is the event. Let's go backwards. And let's work out each step. Like, and together we'll work it out. And I'll keep you honest. I know you can do it, but I'll keep you honest with it. So, you know, on the 1st of August, you need to be doing this. On the 21st of August, you need to be doing this. You know, there's this thing about a firework display that I keep, a stupid analogy that I keep using, that I could fire the biggest firework that I could afford up into the sky. And it'll make a huge bang and a beautiful, bright light in the night sky, and lots of people will see it. Okay, now if I had a time machine and went back to 5 days ago, and then around my area I leaflet dropped every single house, I went on every single social media outlet, I went on to the Facebook pages, all the groups, I phoned all my friends, told them to phone them friends, organised little parties, got people out in the street, you know, got some caterers in, and then got the direction, organised the countdown, 4 days, 3 days, 2 days, 1 day, 1 hour, 5 hours, 4 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours, 1 hour, and then set the firework up, then there'd be thousands of people looking at it at the right time, and they'd all get the message. At the moment, what I find is people are just firing their fireworks up. They're just not. They've got some brilliantly beautiful things to fire up there, and they just don't tell anyone about it.
Brilliant.
I've learned stuff about you today, Richie. I've known you a long time, a couple of years, 3 years, and I didn't know that you went to school in Southampton. Now, I am going to judge you on your next answer.
Go on, then.
Because I went to school in Southampton as well. Which school?
Well, I bet you went to King Edward's, didn't you?
I didn't, but we used to play rugby against King Edward's. Go on, keep going.
Well, I went to Belmore school. I went to Belmore.
No! Well, they were hard. They were hard as nails, Belmore.
Yeah, we were.
When you said fighting, that I get it. That all makes sense.
It actually was, John. It actually was. It wasn't an example. It just physically was Fight Club.
Wow. Goodness gracious. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. So
where did you go then?
I went to Testwood School, so I'm from Totten, so just close to the New Forest.
I play football for Totten.
Posh end of Southampton, you know.
Yeah, nice bit.
Yeah.
Cool. More room.
So, somebody writes a book about your life. What's it called?
Oh, probably Making the Most of the Moments, I think. Yeah.
Oh, like that.
Or an love average that. Angler.
It was this big.
Or the one that got away. Yeah.
The one that got away. Got me. Yeah.
The story of a salesman. The one that
That's
got
it,
away.
Yeah.
But not many do, mate. Not many do, in fairness.
No,
Richie, it's been a joy, hasn't it, Paul? It's been a real joy to speak to Richie today.
Completely. And, you know, I find it, all of these things are privilege every time, but, you know, the ease of which we can have a conversation, because we could easily kind of carry on, but I'm going to have mercy on the listening public, because they'll want to listen for hours and hours. It has been fantastic and great to kind of really embrace the man that is Richie and understand your depth, your knowledge, your wisdom, and you know, what you bring to our work party, but also what you bring to our being human party, you know. And it is great that we can get shit done with you and we can, you know, kind of understand one another and be open with each other and support one another in challenges. And that, for me, is the balance that we all really need in our lives. We all need a little bit of Richie Martin in our lives. And
good job, she can't get a big bit.
Perspective.
Easy. I won't stand up, John.
Yeah. Guys, well, listen, everybody, look, check out Richie Martin. Connect with him on LinkedIn if you're not. Connect with him in any way you like, because I know that Richie's got a big heart and one that wants to embrace the world and make a difference. Already achieved a tremendous amount, but going to achieve a hell of a lot more of that, I'm sure. So check out Richie Martin. Richie, thank you so much. Thank you for your honesty, your openness, your love and your passion. It shines through every time we speak. And we look forward to the next conversation that we are going to have with other people down the road. But in the meantime, I hope you've enjoyed the meeting. Richie, share this podcast far and wide. And encourage people to get in touch with Richie, because he can make a difference in many, many different ways. Thanks, everybody. And thanks, Richie. Have a great day. And check out the evcafe.org for more like this. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Richie.